Hey, dude, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about back to school.
I'm not in school anymore, but it's funny how it still affects me so much.
Yeah.
Especially with the traffic.
Well, I find that each year that goes by, I completely forget. Like, I'm forgetting more about what it's like.
To be in school.
To have been in school.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, my favorite part about being in school was just getting out of school, which... You know, you don't get that experience of, hey, I'm off of school today, when you're off of school every day. It's funny how bored you would get in summer.
Yeah. Well, and no matter how bad or how good summer was, there's always that week right before school starts that you actually are just a little bit excited.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. People, I mean, I guess if you travel or like did camp or did a bunch of like really fun stuff in the summer, it was a different experience.
Everything is going wrong.
Dude, everything's falling, like your microphone, everything's okay. Falling apart. Your headphones are down. How everything is destroyed. How
about we just save it for the podcast. Yo, welcome back to That Guy Show podcast brought to you by Wise Fools Media. I'm William.
I'm Matt.
That Guy Show is a podcast for men, about men, by men, with men, as men.
Amen. Got me like, woo, yeah. Way up in the skies like, way up, living my time is trying to get my life right. My God never fails, so I'm here no tell.
Man, you take some time off from podcasting and you just screw everything up. Not you, me.
Everything's falling apart. I mean, there was like a microphone not even here when I got here. It was crazy.
I know. I forgot to set it back up.
So it is, dude, what it is.
You had a baby.
Oh, dude, I had a baby. Well, my wife had a baby. I was just present for the extraction. But it was good. You know, it was an intense experience as always. But it's one of those things that as many times as you hold the baby, it is like absolutely amazing that this child was like inside of your wife like 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Like even now it's like been like 1 week and I'm holding this little baby. I'm like, dude, like a week ago, like this baby could still be in the womb if we hadn't extracted it. You know?
So do you ever just think just like, oh my gosh, we multiplied.
Yeah. Like this is an investment that's going to outlive me.
Like one, we pray. Yeah. Yeah. Well, not hopefully.
Well, like you buy a house, you're like, I'm going to pay this off, maybe buy another one. I'm going to get this car. I have this job. It's like nothing really is like I'm doing this thing that's going to outlive me until you have a kid. And you're like, dang.
Well, it's your job to make that happen.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's like a long-term responsibility. It's like, it's a mortgage that lasts longer than you're alive. Like,
don't feed it poison.
Check.
Develop its brain.
Check-ish. I mean, you figure like food does that, right?
That should be good enough.
Play a lot of really educational YouTube videos. I should be fine. You know? Just don't let him watch too much junk TV. Make him watch some PBS and he'll be fine.
Make him listen to That Guy Show.
Make him listen to That Guy Show.
He'll learn a lot of good stuff really quick.
No Ren and Stimpy until you're old enough.
Yeah. So one more, you're outnumbered.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm already outnumbered with the dogs.
The dogs don't count.
Dude, they count.
They don't count.
Oh, they count.
They don't count.
I'll take two babies over two dogs any day of the week.
Oh. Well, your dogs are crazy though.
They are crazy. They're wild.
So is your oldest, is he ready for back to school?
So yes. he's back to school. I mean they call everything school. Is he aware
of back to school?
No, because I mean, like in the summer, he went to the daycare. They just had like a limited time frame, you know. But he was like off for a week. But we'll be like, okay, ready to go to school? He's like, no, stay with babe. Like he really likes the baby. Like he follows the baby around and wants to like he makes sure we're doing our job. Like we go to change the diaper, he has to like supervise us. He can't be in the other room. He has to stand on a stool and watch what we're doing. And then the baby starts crying. He goes, cry, you know, like.
Do you think maybe he's
babe, cry.
He's just trying to gain y'all's trust so he can take over?
I
and be like, there should only be one.
I am the only. Now, he seems to really like his bro.
That's good.
He follows him around. He checks in on us. When he wakes up in the morning, he literally walks out of his room with his hair all disheveled. And you're like, would you like some breakfast? And he's like, babe. And he just walks around the house till he finds the baby. Make sure the baby survived the night, and then he'll come eat breakfast.
That's funny.
He's like, doesn't trust us.
So what's he going to do when he goes back to school?
So he already started Monday. So he's been going back. But like, we tell him like, hey, you ready to go to school? He's like, no, stay home. And you're like, well, no, you're going to have to go to school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he already wants, and like his school isn't like, I mean, it should be fun. I mean, you know, but I don't know why it is. Why is it that we want to stay home? Like we pretend like we don't even like our homes or our parents and we want like to go out in the world. But at the end of the day, even when you're like in high school, you'd rather be home than at school. Why is that?
Because school sucks.
Why does here's the question. Why does school suck so much? Like, should school really suck?
I don't know. Talk to the school boards. School shouldn't suck. School should be fun.
I watched this documentary about education in Japan. Now, the place they were looking at was a unique place. Like, I don't think every place in Japan was like this.
Yeah.
But it was like this school that had no walls. They did have barriers between the classrooms. It's like a giant circle. And they had trees like growing through the building.
That sounds awesome.
And on the top, the ceiling, that was a big circle, it was like a giant track and play area.
Yeah.
So kids could climb up ladders or climb up the trees onto the track area and they can run around up top. And so, and then when it was time for lessons and stuff, they would like come back down and like, you know, scale down the slide down, or I don't know. And then they would have their classrooms and they didn't really, I mean, they might've had some desks, but kids were kind of on the floor. And then they had like stations where they would do different things. But the premise of it was that the kids in a given school day, like had this many steps, like they had like 10,000 steps in a school day and they still got all their learning in, but they were like a lot on the move.
There wasn't a fat kid in that school.
Basically. But the idea was that somehow, and I think when I was watching it, it was specifically talking about male education and like kids and boys and how boys process differently than girls, which I mean,
at some point. They teach girls in Japan?
Apparently.
Maybe that's China, they don't teach
Maybe girls. They have different classes. No, I'm pretty sure that everyone in Japan gets a better education than
So there's this, our kids. There's a school in like, I think it's like Sweden or something like that. And a lot of white blonde kids, right? Whatever nation that is.
Okay, Sweden, Holland.
Yeah, that area. So the school was like all outdoors. So the kids like get completely bundled up, and it's like cold outside, right? And they're all bundled up, and they're going outside, and they're like splashing in puddles in the freezing cold. They're climbing like trees, and these are like little kids, like Natty's age kids, that are like climbing to the top of trees and then like riding the tree down. And then letting it whip back up. They're like climbing rocks. They're taking knives and axes and like cutting wood up and doing stuff like that. And the teacher just stands there, right?
Yeah.
And they were talking about in this like little documentary about how like, you know, isn't this dangerous? Because we've only had to send one kid to the hospital. And that was because their parent drove over their foot. As the parent was like leaving or something like that. The kid got too close to the car or something. He's like, no, we've never been to the hospital. And this has been going on for years and years and years and years. There's this road and then there's this lake and the kids go up to the road and they just stop. And the person was just like, well, what are they doing? And they're like, well, they know they can't go across the road without an adult.
Yeah.
And like they wandered off on their own to this road and just waited. Now it was within the area that they were going.
Right, right, right.
So finally the adult came over and it's like, yep, time to go. And they went. It's like they follow rules. It looks like utter chaos, but they're following these rules and they're developing and like learning something, you know? And if they hurt themselves, they realize, oh, I can't do it that way again. I have to relearn and adapt. It looked like there was a classroom, but I didn't really see them in the classroom at all.
When I started teaching, okay, now I had like dealt with kids, youth group retreats.
Did you make them stand on a desk?
No, but we did like, we did like fun. I was always like, did fun educational things. Like I'm trying to teach kids something, but in a retreat setting or a youth group setting, it's so different than a school setting.
Yeah.
But that was my experience. So when I stepped into the classroom setting, you know, I'm like meshing the two, which generally means that my class is fun. I was also extremely funny, as you know,
and
witty, so that helps. So, I mean, generally, I had a favorable response from students. Like they would be like, oh, we really enjoyed your class, and we learned something. Well, you know. But the question is, I'm also being judged on the curve, you know what I mean?
And oh, yeah.
Anyway, but I took the classes. My second year, I had to take education classes and I took 12 hours of education courses, like kind of like master courses, but it was designed just for the teachers in our archdiocese. And you could eventually become like Praxis certified and all the different like teacher certifications if you wanted to be.
Yeah.
I never did, but I took 12 hours, made straight A's. It was a lot of fun, actually. It was so cool being in a class with nothing but teachers and taught by professors who were teachers. So it was like just everything we talked about, every exercise, everything we shared, it was like everyone was like in the trenches.
Yeah.
It was just a cool experience. I don't even know if that program still exists, but it was awesome. And well, anyway, so we were this teacher. Oh my, what was his name? It was like Dr. Wong? I think it was Dr. Wong. He's a really famous educational theorist guy, and he wrote this book called, I don't remember what it was. First Day of Class or something like that. Yeah. And he had all these rules. But one thing that he said that I just never forgot was, he goes, when students come out of school, they are running around like crazy people because they have so much energy. And he goes, and teachers walk out of school like exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, the opposite should be happening. He's like, what really should be happening is that in the classroom, the students should be working and actively doing things. And the teacher should walk out of school and they should be the one with a bunch of energy and they should be ready to go to happy hour, have a margarita, and the kids should be wanting to go home and take a nap because they're so exhausted from the work that they've put in. And it's like an active learning opposed to a passive learning, you know? Yeah. And I find the way we do education is not really effective. You know, like for example, you know, the idea that you go to school and you sit there and you're passively learning for hours and hours and you're taking notes and you're writing stuff down, you're digging blah, 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 blah. But it's just like you are constantly like just taking information in, writing it down, blah, 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 sort of test. Then you go home and you're doing the same exact crap all over again with homework. And I just feel like, and all the studies or a vast majority of the studies show that the more homework you have, you're not learning anymore. Well, so no. Like if you learn how to do a certain type of equation in math class and you get sent home with 10 pages of work or one page of work, that it's, you're not actually learning more by just dumping homework on kids. But I feel like the elite schools, especially even in our area, that's still the way they think about it. It's like, you're an elite kid, you're smart, you can handle this. And so the measure of the teacher is not just how much you teach them, but it's how much homework you give them.
Yeah.
And how hard that homework is. And if you give them enough and it's hard and they can barely make it through it, then somehow like you're a good teacher.
Yeah.
And it's like that whole concept, I just think is failing. Because I think what you do is, and I know the pressure's on the teachers. If you have to teach a core course, everything's judged by standardized testing. So it's like you have to have your kids score a certain area on all the state tests and the federal tests. So you're kind of like always teaching the test in a sense.
Yeah.
So that your kids can perform better on the test. So it looks like you did a good job so that blah, 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 you know?
So do you remember back in high school, a teacher that was really hard and difficult and you were super loaded with homework?
Yes. Well, I mean, in general, all my math classes were like that.
Well, let me just tell you this. I don't remember a single teacher like that. I do remember are the ones that like I learned from, not just in that class. Like I had an English teacher. I didn't learn, it's going to sound bad, but I learned more on like life stuff from, and this isn't a Dead Poets Society reference whatsoever. I'm sure this teacher would love for it to sound like that. But my point being is that like I learned more from like life and just like stuff. Like I think of him more than I think of any other teacher, but I don't remember what I did in that class English wise. You know what I mean?
Well, I remember.
But I think I believe that I was set up better to handle like stuff. Like when it comes to writing, it's the only thing I do when I think about, am I doing this correctly? You know right. what I mean? Like when I do math, I'm just like 2 + 2 = 4. And I don't even check it. I could be wrong on numbers. You know, I don't even check it. But like when I'm writing something down, I'm wondering if I'm grammatically correct. You know?
I had an English teacher in high school.
I think I get that from him of like, I want to make sure that I write correctly for him.
I had an English teacher in high school that, I think everyone's had this experience. I try to explain this to people when they talk about like, what's the charism of teaching, you know, we talk about like in Christian circles, talk about actual like spiritual gifts or whatever. And I always say like, you know, have you ever had a teacher that was hard, but that when you were done, you were so glad you took their class. Like you're like, I really learned a lot. And I usually equate those two or that experience with, and there's not this meaning that they dumped a ton of homework on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that can be the case, but in class,
they had high expectations for you.
They managed to teach you something you didn't otherwise know.
Yeah.
And I had two teachers that stand out to me like that. But my English teacher, and I'm interested to find out if our English teachers are the same.
They're probably not.
But the guy that I had, he was hard. Everyone in senior, or I think it was like senior year, everyone was like the teacher no one wanted because they were like, he makes you write the big term paper, you know? Like, this is like your big, paper that you have to write every year.
Yeah.
Now, I went in the seminary.
Maybe I was in remedial English.
I went in the seminary, and, you know, for the next many years, I just wrote papers.
Yeah.
I mean, for the next 8 years and in graduate school. So, I mean, I was writing papers for the rest of my life. So, what I did learn in this guy's class actually did change my perspective and everything and shape my whole life as far as being able to write papers and express myself. And, but what I do remember from his class is I don't remember tons of homework, but I remember lots of research, and we had to research things in little clumps, and we did it in sections. So I'll give an example. We had to write these term paper, but it was literally like the entire year led up to this term paper.
Yeah.
We had to pick topics. We had to come up with 10 topics. We had to come up with pros and cons of each of the 10 topics. We had to come up with a thesis statement for each of the 10 topics. We had to come up with 4 or 5 different books. And like so it was like my topic that I chose, because in typical high school, you choose things that seem important to you at the time. I chose the minimal legal drinking age. That was what I was going to talk about.
Interesting.
Because basically I was going to be like, it's so stupid that you're going to be 18, die for your country, and you can't drink a beer, you know?
Or vote.
Or vote. Well, you can vote at 18.
I know.
But, oh yeah, you can vote, but not drink. I see what you're saying.
Or smoke.
Right. You can smoke, but you can't drink. And you'll die faster from smoking than drink. Anyway, well, depending on how much you drink. But that's besides the point.
Or when you drive after you
drink. Or how you handle your life after drinking. So I started doing this whole process. That was the one that I really wanted to do. And I was collecting all the research. And the problem was all of the research basically said that raising the minimum wage would pretty much almost...
Raising minimum wage?
I'm sorry, raising the minimal drinking age would almost definitely equal more deaths and terrible things in America. And so it was like all of the research was really skewed one way. So I was like, well, crap, I'm going to have to write this paper kind of like headed the other direction.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I ended up doing. But what I really uncovered was it was more of a cultural thing, and the lack of responsibility given to teenagers prior to turning 18 is part of why teenagers, when they turn 19, really get to live the lives that other kids live a lot earlier. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Because of just the restraints and our education system and all that different stuff. Anyway, but my point was, he made us write all these note cards. So every time I had a quote, I would write it on index cards.
Yeah.
And I would fill up index cards of quotations. So if I had a pro, a con, I just made index cards. And then when I went to write my paper, I always had to delete pages. Like I had more pages than I had time. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like most people are like, dang it, I got 4 pages. It needs to be 8. And they start like messing with the words and the letting, like the teacher's never going to notice that.
1.5 space.
Right, right. And you're trying to make it look longer. But in reality, I always had the opposite problem. Because I did that, and I did that all the way through graduate school. I'd make note cards and I'd put them in the books, and that's how I did it. And it changed how I wrote. And I was never a writer. I mean, I wasn't really that great of a student, especially in high school. I was trying to keep the C's. You know, if I had all C's, I was in a good place. A couple B's, you know, it was exciting. The only thing I ever did good in school was spelling, which is so ironic because I'm a terrible speller.
Yeah.
But I was great memorizer. So if I could memorize something, I was good to go, which is like, I was like, oh, that's what the entire school system did.
You were a great memorizer?
Yeah.
Because you're not now.
I can memorize stuff good.
You can't recall anybody's name.
But that's the point. I can't recall it, but I can memorize it. If you told me I had a test from now and I had to remember 100 names, mm-hmm. I'd know all 100. Because I can memorize it for the short term. And that's why I was good with spelling.
But if a young kid comes up to you and is like, I'm a big fan of you, my name is Johnny, and sees you next week, and you'd be like, hey, Rick.
Yeah, no. I'd have to see the kid 5 or 6 times in a row before I would know their name. But then I'll know their name forever. And then I'll see them 15 years later, and I know their name, and they don't know me. I saw that as secretary. I saw the secretary of the school the other day. I was like, you're Mallory. Is your last name Gomez? She's like, how do you know my last name? I was like, pretty sure I taught you. And I did. I taught this girl. She didn't remember me at all. I couldn't believe it. Shot to my ego.
Wow.
I was always the teacher everyone remembers. Like they tell stories about this teacher.
They tell stories about the math.
I was famous. I was the guy. I was the teacher with long hair. I came as Mr. Schneebly on Halloween. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So we were studying for a test, and not only did I come as Mr. Schneebly, with the tie, the new School of Rock, right? And everything. I was like, I matched them perfectly. But I brought my guitar, and that's how I prepped the test. I would be like, I had my guitar out. They were all studying their study guides, and I'd be like, the sacraments of initiation are... Rebecca, and they were like, look at me. I was like, I mean, it was definitely more fun for me than probably for them. I'm not sure if they even saw School of Rock, but anyway.
So here's my next question.
Sorry, I got on a tangent.
No. I've never taught. So like in a teaching setting, like being a teacher. So do you think that you were the cool teacher because you were the cool teacher, or do you think that you were like...
Just say it, Will. Because I was the easy teacher.
The easy teacher, goofball, the like, oh yeah, Mr. Bushwash class, blow off.
Well, I think that you have two.
He's weird. He brings his guitar. And...
I think you have two ends of the spectrum. So for one end, in some ways, I didn't have the academic pressure that other teachers are under. Like when you're in an English setting, you're teaching kids a certain skill set that the next teacher expects you to have, right? Unfortunately, in like especially Catholic education, I don't think it's the same in other denominations. They're probably a little more on point. But in Catholic education, I find in general there is no standard of knowledge that's expected for kids to know. So when kids come to my class, like let's say, like I'll give you an example.
Yeah,
I didn't teach the Bible. I taught morality, right? Mm-hmm. So morality came in. So I had these kids show up, and I would reference things in the Bible, and I recognized that they did know things that I would think that would be kind of. Now, granted, I didn't know anything when I went through. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about my religion teachers, but like there was a lot of things I didn't know. Like I couldn't tell. Like I didn't know Moses existed before Jesus, which is like. You know, the basic concept.
That's like Christianity 101.
Yeah, it kind of is. So there's a lot of things that they didn't know. So I started giving a test, and I created, when I became the religion department head, I created a test that had to be given for every single grade and that every kid was supposed to ace by the time they got out. Or should have aced or get really close. And so I told the teacher, I was like, give me 10 things that you're going to have the kids, like 10 basic principles that kids should know, you know? And I created basically a final exam of all 10 things and that each teacher could review those 10 things. So you learned about the sacraments. Okay, here's like the 10 basic concepts of the sacraments. What are they? What do they do? You know, what are they? Blah, blah, blah. And then so we could review them each year and it would at least have some kind of, but there's, anyway, but then I left. And
so who was your religion teachers? Can you not say it on this podcast?
You're talking about in high school?
Yeah.
I mean, I had religion teachers that I really liked.
Because you weren't really religious in high school, so.
Not until my senior year, right? My senior year in high school, I started going to daily mass. And then, kind of getting back into my faith. And it was kind of funny because I was like going to mass every day at school. And then like the priest there let me know that I was supposed to go on Sundays. Because I just figured like, dude, if you go to church like Monday through Friday, like you're golden. Like, why would you go on Sunday? Sunday church is like packed full of people. And it's like,
I still try and use that argument.
Yeah. Right.
It does not work. It
doesn't work. Anyway. So, point being was that, I had decent teachers. I don't think that was necessarily like an issue, but what I'm saying is I didn't have as much of the pressure, but I will say this, the teachers that people say are like easy teachers, right? They're teachers that are actively doing things in class and they're not actively doing things in class. And kids actually don't like teachers. They might pretend like they like teachers that are easy, that don't do stuff, but it's actually miserable if you have a block schedule to sit for an hour and a half in a class that is not doing anything.
Yeah.
It is absolutely miserable. Like an hour and a half to a teenager is like remember the Spider-Man Homecoming where he gets trapped in the vault, you know, and he's talking to the suit. Did you not watch Spider-Man?
I just don't remember.
Okay. So he's at the triathlon and he's trying, you know, he gets on this truck. He's trying to go like get the bad guys or whatever. And he ends up getting locked inside of this shipping vault. And he's stuck there. And so he just realizes his suit can talk and he's talking to this lady. And basically you feel like he's been there probably 24 hours. You know, he's been stuck in this thing forever. And it's showing you all the different stuff he's doing, trying to break out, talking to suit lady, practicing all of his suit stuff.
I'm remembering.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you feel like it's been about 24 hours, 36 hours. And he's sitting there on a hammock that he made from his spider web. And he's like, how long? He's like, Karen, how long have we been here? She goes, it's been 15 minutes. He's like, 15 minutes, you know, because that's like in a high school world, like how they process time is so different. So anyway, so it's like an hour and a half of a class that the teacher now is not organized. I feel
like we've been there for 15 minutes and they're like, oh, it's been an hour and a half. I'm like, it's been an hour and a half.
Yeah. And that's
I'm getting old.
And that's the difference. So like okay. I always, and I've had it before, like, you know, it's a Friday. They had an assembly in the middle of the week. So all my classes got off schedule. So it's like half the kids were on one lesson, the other half were on another. So you ended like on a Friday and you're like, okay, well, you basically have a blow off class, you know?
Yeah.
And so blow off classes were sometimes the most painful for me personally, because it was like the kids are restless. They're getting in trouble. They're being annoying.
It's hard when like, they don't just chill. Especially being at Catholic school where, you know, I felt like a lot of my friends that were at public school had a lot more freedoms. Like some of them like left school halfway through the day to go work, you know, like they worked at Popeyes, you know, and got to leave school to go work.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's like a work release program or something. It was just nuts to me.
Getting you ready for your life. Yeah. And this coming is out the
by their senior year, but they had like off periods. I remember my dad telling me he went to public school and, you know, the difference between the Catholic school and public school back then or something like that was like, like lunch, they had like 2 hours off. They would just leave campus and go to lunch.
Yeah. A lot of that's not really happening anymore, but it still happens to some.
Now, granted, I think that's more like older, even though maybe seniors and stuff like that, that are allowed to do that.
Remember at Rummel, they had a special lot for seniors and all the seniors got to park in this special lot. It's called the senior lot.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was this huge privilege, but they actually locked it during the day. So you couldn't leave. It was kind of a brilliant way of being like, you have your own reserved parking spot, but then we lock it so you can't actually leave early.
Yeah, I just tried to get there early and park in the regular parking.
Oh, that way you could you could peace out.
I also came into school. So this is, okay, so this was me in high school, right? Was let's do the least amount of work to get by, okay? I was also a religious kid from freshman year through senior year. I mean, until today. And I felt bad for a lot of my religion teachers because I wasn't like, I had that mindset of like, well, I already know Jesus. So like, what are you going to teach me about Jesus? Right. You know? And they're like, they're teaching me Old Testament. And I'm going to be honest with you. I only need the new one. I don't need the old one.
It's old for a reason.
This stuff is boring. And it was taught in a very, and I'm sorry if any of my teachers are listening, it was taught in a boring way for me.
Which is kind of crazy given how unboring most of the stories are.
But every class.
But that's how they teach it.
But every class I took was a boring class. So it wasn't just like religion was boring. So going through all of this stuff, but I will say this to my religion teachers.
They probably used a textbook. That's probably what they did. Did you use textbooks? Y'all very
textbook? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember.
You don't remember. Got it.
I had the Bible.
Yeah.
The ultimate textbook. Even in biblical studies or whatever, like I didn't do good. I think I just barely squeaked by even religion classes. And I was in campus ministry class senior year. So, you know, that was not like a blow off, but it was,
so
you
I
know,
taught,
when you think about like, it counts as a credit, you know, we just planned nights and it was more depth and it was very good for my spirituality, which is what the class was for. But academically, it's not an academic class, you know?
I taught Bible class to, at one Catholic school, and Catholics were the extreme minority of students in the school. And so it was nothing but like Baptists and other non-denominational groups. And so it was like 80% non-denominational groups. And so I decided that I was going to, by the end of the year, I decided what life skill would they have. And I decided my life skill would be that they would be able to find any book in the Bible in less than 10 seconds.
Were they able to do that?
Every single one of them did.
What
and they thought it was
them?
The coolest. Well, for most of the kids that didn't go to Catholic church, they were able to follow along in church.
Oh, yeah, that's
so when they would be like, okay, open up to Isaiah. You know what I mean? If you don't know where it is, you're just flipping through hoping to find it. Now, Isaiah, you might get lucky because there's, you know, it's kind of long.
So where's Isaiah?
But good luck trying to find Jonah in the Bible if you don't know where it
where's
is.
Where's Jonah?
So it's in the prophets. So, you know, Bible's organized by sections, not
okay, we're gonna
by chronological.
Yeah. Okay, this is too much. This sounds like high school.
You're like,
now.
I'm already tuning you out.
I put tabs on that stuff, son.
Yeah, right. Tabs.
So,
that's so tacky.
But all my religion, like I'll say this in high school, like when I would go out on weekends or whatever, like I don't know if any of my friends did anything else without us there, but like, dude, I don't think I ever had a drink, period, in high school. I don't think I did. And if I did, it was one. You know, one drink ever.
Best drinks I ever had were in high school.
So like
it's all downhill after that.
Well, for me, like I never had any alcohol. I don't remember.
I didn't drink until it was basically my senior year.
I think I went camping with
friends. Which is kind of ironic because that was also the year of my conversion.
Yeah.
You can see how it was conflicted a little bit because it was the religious people that were drinking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that's besides the point.
But
God have mercy on my soul.
But I just found that like with class, I was always, not that I was like a stuck up, but I kind of was stuck up where I didn't feel like I needed to learn this stuff because I really knew Jesus, you know? Yeah. So I was probably like thinking that I was hot stuff in school in like these religion classes and I was like popular in the religion class with the religion teachers or whatever. But I was probably a big pain in their butt because I was like, well, I don't need that. I go to adoration. I've rested in the Holy Spirit. I can pray in tongues.
You're like, dude, like I know things about the heavenly realm. I'm like in the fifth mansion and you guys are like way down here.
Yes.
Okay. Dealing with one and twos. I ain't got time for that.
I ain't got time for that. I
can't time for no.
Boy, do I wish I had time for that. But I also think that if the teachers would have taught better.
There you go. There's the word.
That it would have been engaging for everybody. And when I say better, it's you do the best you have with the tools you were given, right? Yeah. But when you're teaching from a textbook, how do you teach religion from a textbook? How do you teach like math from a textbook? Because math is freaking everywhere. I am more interested in math now than I was ever in my life because of YouTube videos showing me that math is everywhere, right?
And like honestly, like when I took philosophy, so many of the early philosophers were mathematicians. And it made me appreciate math as this like mental science, and understanding all the concepts behind it was made it much more interesting.
Yeah.
Which ironically, I didn't actually have to take much math in school, even though I was studying philosophers and they were all really good at math up until a certain point. So, but it's look, I was always like the kid. I always said I'm bad at math, which a good math teacher will always tell you that's garbage. No one's really bad at math. I mean, some people might have a little more natural, but the basic concepts everyone is capable of mastering. I mean, maybe not like your advanced, you know, whatever. But I mean, when you're talking about algebra 1 and 2, okay, you can do it. All right.
Math is common sense and memorizing.
But it's not taught like that, right? Because they don't like they'll teach you the process of getting it the right answer. And never teach you about the actual formula and what it's for.
Right.
See, and that's the problem. That's why kids always hated the word. Remember the word problem, you know, and the teacher would always put the word problem math, you know, where it's like the real world application. That was always the thing that no one could do well because that's not how it's taught. No one is taught to succeed in math in the real world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I don't know what I want to know. Well, I would like to know is why do you have to do math in a certain order?
I don't know.
Like you multiply everything first and then you would divide, then you would add and subtract, whatever, right? You would do it in order. But why does it have to be done in order? Why can't you do... So for algebra, right? You have 2 and then inside the parentheses, you have 5 plus 3. How do you do that math?
First of all, don't even try to be bringing up some algebra up in here. Well, you do what's in the parentheses first.
But right? Why?
Because, I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's exactly
one way. Don't
you
multiply the 2 and the 5 and the 2 and the 2 and then add those together?
No. If you multiply a 5 and a 2 and then you later add them, it's going to be different than taking something that was a multiple and then adding it.
So who decided this formula?
I don't know, dude.
That's what I'm asking. Like,
I'm a philosopher. I don't know.
There was times where like I would show all of my work and get it right according to my work, but it'd be wrong because it wasn't according to this formula.
And if
I was
you
like,
had only been in Common Core, you would be a B kid.
But why couldn't you look at that and be like, okay, I see you know what you're doing here. You just got off track right here. You know, here's a half point, but they give you no points for it, and then you fail math.
Well, that's what they're trying to correct. But it is kind of complicated because that's what you're saying. It's like you don't feel like you're learning the thing. Like when you learn it, you can put it into practice some practical way in your life. And I don't know. I mean, I don't have all the answers, but I do feel like school in general is just so passive.
Pointless.
And I mean, even college, like it's so frustrating how like in my mind, I think, and I don't know if everybody thinks like this, but in my mind, I feel like, okay, in college, yeah, there's a few things that should happen. One, you should be exposed to lots of different thoughts, right, and ideas. You should be able to debate them. You should be able to see things from two different sides, like not have a obscured view of anything. Like, yeah, you should be able to see all the different sides of every argument. So be exposed to a broader, more globally of a concept. So, but at the same time, you're supposed to leave college as an expert in something. That's the way I think about it. And I feel like trade schools do that. You go to a trade school, you're going to be an expert at something. Like, if you know computers or you have some kind of certification in IT, you should know how to do something practically.
And I
feel like in college, the gap between the practical and the degree you got is so far.
Correct.
That, I mean,
which is why my belief is that that piece of paper is relatively pointless.
Well, it's only relatively pointless when it comes to practical skill and application. Doesn't mean
which is
it's not
everything.
No, everything is getting a job. You can actually be inefficient. You can be unskilled. But you might not even be good at your job, but you might be got the job just because of the piece of paper, which makes it really important, even though it didn't help.
Stupid.
It's not practical.
Which once you get the job, they're going to be like, wow, this guy really doesn't know shit. And he just barely made it through college. But this piece of paper doesn't tell you, hey, I barely made it through college. This piece of paper says, hey, I've done everything I needed to do to excel in this area.
I wonder how many people ask for your transcripts. Because I had jobs where they've asked for my transcripts.
I've never had a job.
I used to
have. But I've always done construction.
Because I was, yeah, it was stuff. It was in education, so maybe that makes more sense. But people have asked for my transcripts. Yeah. And I've looked back on them like, man, I didn't do so good my first 2 years in college. Like, you know, you see what you didn't do well on.
Who cares?
Well, if apparently, I don't know, they hired
Why
me
should
anyway.
It care?
Well, because if they're going to hire, well, I'll give you an example. If I was had to hire people to teach theology in high school,
yes.
You know, so somebody would be like, oh, I have a degree in pastoral and spiritual studies from this Catholic university. And I'm like, what the hell is spiritual and pastoral studies?
Exactly.
So I asked for the transcript and I'm looking at the courses they took and none of them have anything to do with what
theology.
They'll be teaching. Right. They're just very like, they're very obscure. And the ones that had any kind of practical, they were supposed to be like, you know,
what they
like,
have is a youth minister's degree.
I don't even know if I'd call it that. Like even their foundational, I mean, and that's the thing. This school is known to be sketchy anyway. So it's like,
what school is it?
I'm not going to be trash.
It.
No, I'm
Say
not.
It.
I'm not trashing
it.
I'm not trashing
it. Is it local?
Yeah, it's local.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Our Lady of Holy Cross.
Let's just put it this way. It's run by the Jesuits. So that should tell you all you need to know right there.
What school is that?
Anyway.
Our Lady of Holy Cross? Loyola.
I'm not.
Loyola, right? That's a Jesuit.
Why
right?
are you trying to just.
What do you mean trying to? Just be honest.
I am being honest. I'm not telling you. This is the same thing. Anyway, the point is that.
I think the Catholic school education sucks.
I'm looking at the transcripts. I'm like, I mean, it's like this. You're not even qualified to teach these things. I mean, you may be actually knowledgeable on these topics, but this degree doesn't show me that.
Right.
And you never took courses in the basics, fundamental theology. You've got zero fundamental theology, which is all you're really teaching here. So anyway, it was just like, whatever. But point being, I don't know why we got off on that tangent. This whole thing's a tangent. But I do think that the whole education system is flawed because shouldn't be so that boring. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be so passive to where you spend all of your time just sitting there, like, quote unquote, taking notes.
So do
I mean,
you think,
do have to do some
wait,
of that.
Do you think somebody that went to college and was able to get a degree in straight A's could be better than somebody who struggles in that academic world, but who is hands-on, is way smarter?
You mean could be? I mean, I don't know what you mean by could be better. I mean, it could be.
I mean, there could be. Like, for example, I excel way better with hands-on training with anything I do than reading from a book and then taking a test on it so you know that I know it, right?
Right.
Like, if you had me take a test on how to change oil, I might actually fail it because I don't know everything. But if I had to change someone's oil, I could just change it like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I could do it faster than somebody else that would probably be able to study that test. And I'm giving a very simple...
Well, I'll give you an example. I've hired probably 3 graphic artists in the last 2 years, right? And... just like every graphic artist doesn't know the same thing. Just because you got a degree in graphic artists, some of them didn't even know, a lot of the ones that I dealt with don't know anything about InDesign. Let's just say like the 3 biggest programs, I guess you would say, 3 biggest, I mean, it could be arguable, but is Photoshop, Illustrator, and InDesign. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they literally know almost nothing. Like even how to open up a brand new document, add a bleed, like just some of your basic principles in print.
But it's only basic principles in print in that software if you use that software. Because
every software has dimensions and bleeds and margins, and those things are important when you're printing and you're designing anything. No matter what you're designing in, you need to know either the I mean, you can call it pixels, you can call it you know, inches, centimeters, millimeters, whatever. So I'll say this.
I use AutoCAD at work.
Okay.
Which is industry standard CAD, you know, computer assisted design or drawing, whatever, software.
Yeah.
Allows me to draw stuff on the computer. I'm relatively proficient at 2D AutoCAD. But if you put me into some other kind of CAD software, dude, I can't work it.
Yeah.
Like I feel like a fumbling idiot.
Right.
You know, because I'm used to the program that I'm there. I know all the commands. I don't ever use icons. I'm sitting there on a computer, but I go to another program and it's like, I don't even know how to do this, you know, and I have to use icons and I freak out.
Yeah.
Like it's so frustrating.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one of the things.
So I get that part.
That's one of the things that I like about like in Adobe is how they've worked so hard over the years as even though the programs are so different, that there's a similar language, a similar command, similar, you know, so you have like a flow between all the different ones. But my point is that like, you know, you can hire people that have a degree in something and like, I don't have a degree in graphic arts, but like I've yet to, you know, it's like I've yet
but
to-
But you're in charge of hiring people that do.
Yes, and I've yet to meet someone that-
Which proves my point that the piece of paper means nothing in the grand scheme of things. Well, it just gets you a job, but you have to keep that job. And if you can't keep that job because of that piece of paper, then you're still stuck at home on your parents' couch.
Right, and that's another thing.
And that's the big problem with the whole thing is they put so much weight on this piece of paper
right.
instead of like really teaching somebody how to do something because they don't teach it in school. Like I work for an engineering firm and a lot of the new engineers that come out don't know crap about what we do.
Yeah.
They took some engineering class, but what we do is very specific, you know, and then they have to learn it. And then once they learn it,
they
a
got
lot
it.
Of the stuff is like,
yeah.
I didn't really use a lot of the stuff that I used in high, like in college.
Yeah.
Using this now, you know. It doesn't make the stuff in college bad, but they didn't learn anything practical in college. They only learned the I don't know the right words I'm looking for, academically and how to do it or mentally how to do something.
But right.
to physically put that into check,
they and can't how do it. How to do it and how to work with other people and right. how to collaborate and do things in a way
see,
that
a
somebody else
now
can pick up.
Has to spend years as a resident, right? Or a year as a resident or whatever the time frame is. So they actually have to spend time, quote unquote, in the field, right? Learning how to do stuff.
And yeah. I bet you they learn, but yeah.
A teacher has to spend time, usually, especially I think public school or whatever, like you have to spend a year, you know, as a student teacher.
Yeah, you're supposed to have so many hours, right? But the thing is, the thing that's frustrating with teaching is there is a skill with teaching, like being a painter or being a, you know, I don't know, like a designer. I mean, graphic designers can be like the
exactly.
two. But my point is that you can't teach someone something that is like a football player. You could know the fundamentals, you could be whatever, but there's just some people that have a talent that'll take them so much further. And so some degrees, and teaching is one of those, you can get a job teaching and literally not ever have to demonstrate you know how to teach. You don't have to have the skill of teaching to be a teacher. You just have to have a piece of paper. All they really care about is you'd be like, oh, I have a master's or I have a doctorate. Like having a doctorate does not make you qualified to teach, especially high school kids. In fact, it could be a hindrance.
You're proving my
to
point.
Teaching kids because if you know too much and you're unable to teach people at their approximate development age where they are and be able to take them from 1 + 1 = 2 to, you know, find X. If you can't make that jump because it's too low for you to like get back into that zone, you're not doing anyone a service by having a doctorate, you know?
I agree. All right, boys and girls, what we've learned today is that college is pointless, school is stupid.
Drop out of school and learn a trade.
Have fun going back for now. Thank you guys for joining us. I can't wait to chat with you guys next time. You can find us on social media at That Guy Show and at Wise Fools Media on Instagram and at Wise Fools Media on Facebook. Go to wisefoolsmedia.com for blogs and more. Dude, Mary has been like pumping out blogs like cray cray. If you want to leave a comment or a question to be played on the air, I have not been checking the voicemail, so I promise to check it this week. Please call us. Say, what's up, yo? We'll play it on the air. You can email us at thatguyshow@wisefoolsmedia.com or you can call us at 985-503-7867. It's been a while. 985-503-7867. I'm William.
I'm Matt.
This is That Guy Show. Peace. I know I've been